You know, a few weeks ago, a couple people came to me and said, you know, we should have a track pants Sunday for New Year's Day. We should have a really casual dress service. But you know what's interesting? Everyone who said that to me didn't come to church today. So how do you figure that? So, you know, I've been led astray a few times over the years by good ideas, but being kind of bailed out on the end on that one. So I'll have to think about that in the future. But I'm glad that you are dressed. I'm happy about that. So let me ask you this. Anyone make a New Year's resolution this year? Anybody? No? A few of you maybe? When I was a kid growing up, New Year's resolutions were quite common. The culture seemed full of people making New Year's resolutions. Something shifted maybe on that, do you think? Because I don't see as many people doing that. When I even mentioned to Sally, she goes, "You're not going to talk about New Year's resolutions, are you?" Yeah, like, what's the point? Nobody does it anymore. But not nobody. A few do. As I say, it used to be a cultural practice that seems to have disappeared in our lifetime. It was seen by many for a long time as an opportunity to start the slate clean. Just wipe it clean and start over. People often quit smoking on New Year's Day or decided to lose some weight or maybe get a new exercise program going or perhaps learn something they've always wanted to learn and never got around to doing it. There are really no limits to what you could make as a New Year's resolution, really. There's nothing that you would limit you about this. But as they say, I wonder if anybody does it anymore. Not anybody, but not many of us do it. And I think maybe one of the reasons about for the loss of this practice in our culture is people have become a bit disillusioned about change. Because change maybe is not as eagerly sought as it used to be. Or maybe we're just more chagrined by it, that we know change is hard. I think another reason is that people decide there's no point in putting off the change either. If you're going to change, why not do it today? This happens to be January 1st, why not today? Why not February 28th or April 3rd? What makes New Year's Day special? And yet, interestingly enough, I was talking to a few people who didn't actually acknowledge making a New Year's resolution, but it sort of sounded like one to me. Research has shown us over the years that most people don't fulfill their New Year's resolutions. I think it's like 8%, 7 or 8%. 1 in 13 people actually accomplish their New Year's resolutions. Everyone else falls off somewhere along the way. 12 out of 13 of us fail. 1 out of 13 of us succeed. I will say this to you, that every January at the gym I go to, there's an influx of new people. It becomes much more challenging to work out at this gym. The machinery's all clogged up with people. I can't get access to the machinery. And I've learned over the years not to panic. If I just wait to the end of February, it goes back to normal, right? A few people stay on, the 1 in 13 and the 12 out of 13 disappear. In fact, I think gyms are actually pyramid schemes, right? 12 out of 13 people pay for the 1 out of 13 to go to the gym, because a lot of people keep their memberships going out of the idea of going to the gym but never actually make it there. One of the challenges that I think we all understand, most of us do at least, is that change and growth, to make it real, to make it substantial in life, that personal change and growth and that cultural, societal change and growth is hard work. It doesn't come about easy. Growth is hard. Change is hard. Life is hard. And we sometimes act as if it should be easy. Where did we get that idea from? When I was 5 years old, I would see adults smoking. And I'd hear adults saying that they needed to quit. And I heard many New Year's resolutions from my parents and their friends about quitting smoking. Yet here they were in February or April smoking again. Why were they doing something that was wrong? Why were they doing something that they knew was wrong? As a 5-year-old, I didn't understand it, but as a 61-year-old, I do understand it now. I better understand the challenge of change, the challenge of changing to something better. And I would suggest to you that the biggest obstacle to you changing anything in life, in your life or in the world around you, is you. It's the same for me too. The biggest obstacle to change in my life is me. The biggest obstacle to changing the world around me is me. And I'm not saying there aren't other obstacles. Of course there are other obstacles in the way of change and growth in our lives, but I would suggest to you that in most situations, the biggest obstacle that anyone faces in life to the change that they would like to see in themselves or in the world around them is themselves. And I think that means that we need to become wise about the process of change and growth if we're going to make it part of our lives. A few years back, I came across The 7 Keys for Success in Keeping Your Resolutions by Paul Marciano, and I've got it on a slide there, Dave. Here's his 7 goals, or 7 keys, I should say. He says, first of all, make specific goals. That's number one. Schedule it. Measure progress. Share your goals with family and friends. Be patient. Remember, something is better than nothing. And finally, get up when you slip up. And I have to say to you, there's a lot of wisdom in these 7 keys. See, because too often our goals in life, our resolutions, what we're moving towards, are too vague. They lack a specificity that undermines what we want to accomplish with our lives. Marciano is saying we need to be laser specific if we want to make change in our lives. We need to be laser specific if we want to make change in the world around us, too. If you said to yourself, oh, I think someday I'd like to run a half marathon, almost certain you'll never do it. If you said to yourself, I want to run the half marathon in London, Ontario on September 12, 2023, there's a chance you might actually pull it off. Because then you'd have to organize your life around meeting that goal. You'd have to set your priorities around that. To say something vague like, I want to be in better shape, is probably not going to accomplish very much. What does better shape even mean? It's too vague. Marciano then says, you got to schedule it. You got to put it into your schedule. I was talking to someone recently from the church who was making some changes in their life. And they were talking about scheduling it in to their daily planner. That's what they were going to do. That's how they were going to accomplish it. They scheduled this change into their daily plan of life. See, because it has to become part of our habitual landscape. That means perhaps even letting go of some things to create space for something new in our lives. That's a challenge for us because we're habitual creatures. It's hard to give up old habits, but unless we create the space for new habits, we're not going to get those new habits. And the way of creating space is to actually plan it into your daily life. And then the question comes next in Marciano's scheme about how we will know if we're making progress or not. What would the measurement be for you to know if you're actually moving towards your goal? How would you know that you're succeeding or not? We need some kind of marker, some external marker, some kind of measurement tool that tells us we're on the right path and what we're up to. He suggests that we need to share our goals, our resolutions, with family and friends, with our neighbors. See, because once they know what you're up to, they're going to hold you accountable to it. When you're perhaps eating something that you shouldn't be eating, they're going to tell you about it. At least my family will. Probably yours will too. Your friends, if they love you, will hold you accountable to the promises you've made to yourself, to your resolutions. And they'll help you be motivated to dedicate yourself to your goal. Stay on the straight and narrow. A lot of people keep their New Year's resolutions to themselves. I still think people make them, but they don't tell them to anybody anymore. They don't share this information with others, and that almost certainly guarantees failure in keeping them. Why would you keep quiet about a New Year's resolution, or any kind of resolution for that matter, unless you were afraid to share it with others for fear that you might fail and be found wanting? But that withholding of this information is going to almost certainly guarantee failure for you. So let's share our resolutions with each other. Let's share our dreams, our yearnings, our aspirations with each other, and trust that we love each other And we're going to encourage each other, not mock each other for failure, but encourage each other along the way. One of my music teachers said to me, Mark, it's 99% perspiration and 1% inspiration. And I think that's generally true in life. Perfection is not needed for long-term change. This is a big hang-up for me. You don't have to be perfect in the change. And what you're growing towards, you don't have to be perfect. Something is better than nothing. Even if it's late in the day and you haven't got around to fulfilling your promise to yourself, and you still haven't got going on what you've committed yourself to, that new aspiration, that new resolution, just do something. Make one little step towards your goal. I've had that happen to me at times where I want to be in better physical condition and I've committed myself to going to the gym and I stall and then I make it so late that I can't really get a full workout. What should I do then? Should I just give up completely? Well, what I've come into the habit of doing is I just go to the gym and I work out as long as I can because I'm still moving towards the right goal. And finally, if you slip up and fail, just get up and get moving. I've seen many people, maybe you have too, maybe you've experienced this as well, that just give up on their resolutions when they meet a setback. I saw that with my mom and dad when they were trying to quit smoking. They'd go months. And then they'd go to a party, they have a few drinks, they have a few smokes, and then they'd just give up completely on the quest to be a non-smoker. Well, they just fell off the wagon for one night. They just had a few cigarettes, or maybe they just ate food they shouldn't have eaten for that one day. They failed in the moment, but so what? It's only one day. It's only one week, perhaps. Just start again. Get moving. Just keep moving towards your goal. Learn from the past. Learn from your mistakes. Lament it if you need to, but then let it go. I remember a woman, not from Trillium, but connected to Trillium, who was telling me that she wanted to read the whole Bible. She had gone to church for decades. She'd heard hundreds of sermons, you know, sang hundreds and hundreds of hymns and songs in church, thousands. But she'd never read the Bible. And she felt somehow inadequate as a Christian for not having read the whole Bible. And so she made a resolution to herself. I don't know if it was a New Year's resolution, but it was a resolution. She said, I'm going to read the Bible this year. And so she started. She just opened her Bible up that she had at home and started at Genesis 1. She didn't follow any scheme. There's lots of good schemes online you could download, but she decided she was just going to read it from front to back. There are 1,189 chapters in the Bible. It's a big book, right? So she divided this number by 365 days, which works out to about 3 1/4 chapters a day, and she started going. She scheduled her reading into her life. She didn't just think about it as an idea. She made a commitment to read at a certain time in the day, every day, to make sure that she got her Bible reading done on a daily basis. And what happened was that reading the Bible became a practice in her life, a habit. She moved her bookmark each day as she read the Bible, you know, like just moved it through so she could have a measurement of how she was making out. She told me and everyone in her circle what she was doing. Every time I saw her, she told me where she was in her Bible reading, what book she was in, what chapter she was in. She was patient with her year-long study. I am sure, although she never acknowledged it to me, that there were days when she didn't get around to all her reading. There may have been a few days where she didn't read at all, but she obviously made a commitment to get caught up as soon as she could. And one day, she came and told me that she had read the whole Bible. The 5 books of Moses, the history books, the Psalms and the wisdom books, the major and minor prophets, the Gospels, and the book of Acts, the Paul's letters, the general letters, and finally the book of Revelation, and she was done. And she had this sense of pride in her for this accomplishment. She had a deep sense of satisfaction in her. When the Magi saw the star in the sky, they were deeply moved by its significance. But at first, they were probably uncertain as to what to make of its significance. That it meant something, of course, was a given. In the ancient world, in every ancient culture, in China, in India, in the Middle East, in the Mediterranean world, in any ancient culture that I know of, everyone understood that there was a connection between the heavens and the earth. There was a symmetry between them. What happened on earth was reflected in the heavens, and what was reflected in the heavens manifested on earth. And so now there was this new star in the sky, a signal. Something was happening in the heavens, which meant there had to be a reciprocal event on earth. There was a discernment by the Magi that something magnificent was happening on earth. Now, the Magi were priests of the Zoroastrian religion located in ancient Persia. They were the wise and revered ones of the Gentile world. It doesn't explain in the scriptures, but through their deductions, they determined that the star in the sky had something to do with ancient Israel. This magnificent star was a sign of a birth, of an important birth in Israel. They understood that something important was happening in Israel, and so they just went to the probably only town in Israel that they knew of, which was Jerusalem, the capital city. And they looked around for a new king who was being born into the world. A new ruler was coming forth from the land and people of Israel. Something in the world had changed. Something significant was unfolding. Now, it is one thing to see a star, to have some vision given to you. It's completely another thing to decipher it, but it's even more a different thing to actually move towards it. To translate the wonder of the vision of the star into reality, into action. Now, I don't think these Magi were necessarily the only ones to figure out what the meaning of the star was. They were simply the only ones that were able to translate the meaning into action. Unlike everyone else, they managed to organize themselves to follow the vision, the star, to act. And that caused them to move to Bethlehem ultimately and arrive and pay homage to this most wonderful event. Because they're the only visitors from afar who are recorded in the Gospels as having arrived to meet and witness the birth of Jesus Christ. Now I want you to consider what they went through. They made a journey of really incredible proportions. They went from the hills and mountains of ancient Persia and modern Iran, and they went to Jerusalem and then Bethlehem, about 2,000 kilometers. That's a long car drive, let alone walking it day in and day out. I figure it's at least a 4 or 5 month journey on foot or on camelback or horses, because you got a large entourage going from ancient Persia to Jerusalem. That's about a 4 month journey one way. So we were talking probably a commitment of a year from getting there and back, a year's journey. So some very challenging terrain for that matter. Not a journey for the faint-hearted. Not a journey for the faintly committed. How many of us have been given a great vision or a small vision, but have shrank away from it just because we couldn't manage to get ourselves moving? I suspect that all of us here have probably missed many amazing moments in life because we just never managed to organize ourselves to get there. We missed perhaps many wonderful interactions with other people, many vistas, new opportunities for collaboration, just because we weren't specific enough about what we wanted to accomplish in the moment. And so we never got going. Perhaps there were lots of people who recognized the significance and meaning of the star, but they just never got around to get there to see it. They had a general desire to go, but they did not have a specific desire to go. And what set the Magi apart from everyone else, was that they understood how to follow through on a goal, on a vision, how to keep a resolution. They knew how to make a resolution and keep it. They knew how to translate a vision into action. Have you made any resolutions in 2023? Will you make any resolutions in 2023? Have you made any resolutions for Christ in 2023? How about your faith journey with God? What plans in 2023 do you have to deepen your journey in life with the Lord? With your walk with the Lord? Understand, any growth in your spiritual life is not going to happen by accident. You're not going to grow spiritually by osmosis. General desire does not generally lead to growth. Your desire to grow in faith has to be specific. So how would you like to grow as a Christian in 2023? Practically, spiritually, prayerfully. Would you like a stronger connection with Jesus Christ? Do you want to know your Bible better? Do you want to become a more loving, generous person? Do you want to be filled with God's spirit of love on a more continuous basis? See, I think all of us here want to grow in gratitude and love in our lives. I think most of us, probably all of us, want to be more centered on gratitude and love in our daily experience of life. We want to become a person of greater faith, more trusting in God's providential will in our lives, trusting so deeply in God's goodness for us that we're not even afraid of suffering or death. It's how strong we want this sense of faith and trust in God to be, that not even suffering and death will diminish our confidence in God's goodness for us and for the world. Well, if that's what we want, then what are our plans? What are goals do we have to accomplish this? What specific practices are we going to engage in? See, because Marciano's seven keys applies as much to our faith life as any other part of our lives. His principles apply just as much to our relationship with Jesus or with God as it does in any other facet of our life. So Marciano lays out a pretty good model, I think, for spiritual growth, for Christ-like growth. He says, and I've modified it, be specific with your spiritual goals. Be specific. Schedule your spiritual goals so they become practices. Measure their progress. Share your spiritual goals with family and friends. Now, maybe you don't want to share your spiritual goals with and resolutions with all your friends, but you can certainly share them with your friends here. Haven't we come together to share our goals and our yearnings, our desires, the visions that God has given to us with each other? If a church isn't about that, then what is it really about? Be patient. Remember, something is better than nothing. One step towards the goal is a step in the right direction. Get up when you slip up. This applies to us as followers of Jesus Christ, as any other endeavor in life. So again, I ask you, what are your plans for 2023 when it comes to your faith? The answer to that question will determine in a big way what your year is about. And pray for us that many of us will find that when December comes around, in our own way, we will have arrived in the Bethlehem of our goals, our dreams, our vision. We will have accomplished what God has set out for us in our journey to become a full, more fully awakened presence of Christ in the world. As we say here, awaken the Christ light in each other and shine it in the world. Let's make that a powerful vision that we share in our own unique, specific ways as a community here at Trillium.